This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Well, it's hour number three on a Thunder and Thursday. We have got week four of the NFL. We have got Aaron Judge and a record. We have got you and your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we have got hour number three, Bart Scott.
Yeah, and these are for my peoples mean? Right now. Without it, we're going to give it to them here. You're going to get it from our chest, that solar. This is the power.
Can I play for you the call of Michael Kay from the Yes Network, who's also on the K-Rodcast, and you can hear him on 98.7 ESPN in New York as well, right after our show. The call that he made when Aaron Judge hit home run number 61 last night in Toronto.
Yeah.
That I thought was, actually, after this call, like the home run, there's all this talk, oh, he does it, blah, 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 all that stuff, and you're watching everything, and then he just suddenly goes, oh, and by the way, Yankees lead 5-3. it was such an afterthought, yeah. Right? Because it was a big hit in the game. They won the game 8-3.
Yeah, nobody.
The call itself, a lot of people.
Yeah, explain it.
We dwell on the call. Yes. It's very important. Like what? Remember when we talked to him? Do you have what you're going to say? He always told us you never want to have it scripted. You want to have an idea,
right,
but don't have it scripted. But have a plan. And, you know, I always find that stuff interesting because there are moments that happen in sports where sometimes they're spontaneous. You really aren't expecting them. So when they happen, boy, if you nail the call, it's memorable.
Right.
But historic moments that happen are ones that live forever, and your call lives with them. So there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot to the art of being a play-by-play announcer. And what Kay's call last night, not a lot of people realize, but I want to give a shout out to Talking Yanks because they picked up on it on Twitter and they put something together to show you that the genius of this call was not necessarily how, A, he handled it kind of subtly,
right,
wasn't over the top,
right,
wasn't understated, but what he also did was a nod to history.
Right.
Because this tied a record, a Yankee record, and one that stood a very long time, 61 years, in Yankee history, that was one of the Yankee records that was one of the most revered. So listen to the calls side by side, and you can see why this call by Michael Kay was a great call.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya.
Fastball hit deep to right.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history. And now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs. The most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Now think about that. The other voice you heard was that of the legendary Phil Rizzuto, the Scooter.
Right.
Who was a great Yankee shortstop, but also a beloved announcer of the Yankees as well. And his signature was always, holy cow.
Right.
But this could be it is the key phrase here that Kay reflected on, went back on. So this could be it.
Paid homage.
And then they both had their signature. So holy cow, there it goes, see ya.
And nobody knows Yankee history quite like Michael Kay because he's been a part of it.
Yes.
So the fact that he took what could have been one of his moments – and he shared it to pay homage to somebody that we may have forgot in Scooter, I think is genius. And I think for all the people out there that try to, you know, shine light on, saying that Michael Kay tried to shine light on himself, no, he was trying to shine light on somebody else. And Michael Kay won't say it. He's too big for that. He's not going to go down and come down to those guys' levels, the critics out there. That's why we are, because we can be like that, because we can care less. But the fact that he did that, I think they need to have a retraction. And I think they need to apologize to Michael Kay and give him his roses for the way that he handled the call. When we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he said he had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he had to contemplate how he wanted to make sure that he gave a bit of himself within his call, but also reflect on a historical moment that was. And he decided to make it about the past and the history of all the Yankee legends and that historical call.
Yeah.
And so I think we should tip our cap to him, because that takes humility and grace to be able to shine light and to be able to reflect and paint a picture, you know, with his words on a historical moment that will live forever. But could you imagine if it's ever another Yankee that approaches that record and then that person takes a little bit of Michael K and Scooter's and makes it his own.
And that's the difference in, you know, a lot of different tradition. Franchises. That's exactly it. It's absolutely the tradition part of it. Now, just curious, because David Cone, and Paul O'Neill was also on the call, but David Cone sitting next to K. Cone said not a word. Just stayed out of the way.
Yeah.
Could you have done that?
I might have been jumping up and down.
Because
I would have been going all the way to, he dropped the ball. Don't, you dummy, die for it. Right. Die for it.
That's the exact.
I'd have fell right over with that ball. Like, that's my ball. Hell no. It hit my glove. It is mine.
You went right where I was thinking. Because if I know you, you would have watched the flight of the ball. You would have seen, because your head would have been, who's catching this thing? Ka-ching. That's $1 million in the air right now. That's $1 million in the air.
$2.5 million.
It could be $2.5 million.
And they're in Canada, so they would have had American money. That's American money in Canada.
And this dude, this guy.
One shine, but he dropped the damn ball.
You brought your glove. You're in the right place.
He's a famous
restaurateur.
Owner.
Yeah. Yeah. And
fantastic name, too, by the way.
Frankie Lasagna?
Yeah.
They would have been picking my unconscious body up with the ball like
100%,
shark 100%. On any given Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I would have
Don't drop that. Me. This ball worth $2 million.
Seriously. Like Lactavius, if you, because you were jinxing this all along, but if you happen to be there and that ball's coming to you, there's a railing now in the way. You've got a glove in your hand, but you see it might fall a little short. Are you going with the ball all the way down to the bullpen?
I will dolphin dive. Right onto
the
ball.
You know what I'm
saying? Fosbury flop right on my face.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
They would not have got that ball.
You can get surgery to fix your face.
Yeah, because if it landed in your glove and you fall with it, you still technically caught it. No other fan can say nothing about it. This is my ball.
It's possession.
And we can go to court for this. I'm holding this ball death grip.
Now, what if you dropped your glove? What if you let your glove fly?
No.
First of all, this dude turned around and threw his glove at some guy.
Like, they're probably laughing at him.
He was so mad he turned around and threw
They were laughing at him because you know they was like, man, it's coming to him. This dude, some people in life just all they do is win. This dude got his own restaurant.
Like he threw it at him. Yeah. Like, dude, he threw
it. But he threw it to himself. You can tell that he knew him, and they probably was talking about it the whole time. Yeah. And your defining moment to be on TV, to talk about the ball, to have a decision whether you're going to give it back to
the pushed. If I was his friend, I would have pushed him.
I would have put.
Don't get that thing. No. You don't turn around.
I would have grabbed
it. You don't come back without that ball.
Because security would have took it and said it belonged to the stadium to anybody but the person who gloved it actually hit. I would have scooped him up by his ankles or his belt and threw his ass over there and said, if not for you, do it for me.
And guess what? That ball was going to pay whatever fine you were going to get, whatever citation.
What fine?
Ban me.
Fix your railing. I fell.
It needed to be taller.
Like, right? Like I'm sorry. Your railing, you know, does it meet standards? Is it to code? I don't know. How
OSHA?
Old is this stadium?
Hey, all they would have saw was, like, see me reach over and just saw the top of my Nikes. Ah! It would have been like Derek Jeter when he had held on to the ball. I'd have put up, and he held on! Hell no, that's $2.5 million. I don't care how much money you got. That's $2.5 million for catching a ball.
Think about
Listen,
how
God put you there. God put you there. Listen, God put you in positions to be in a position to take advantage of life's like moments, and he missed it. That was disrespectful to Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints.
Matt Bushman was the bullpen coach. He ended up getting
it. Yeah, they're trying to get something for them, too. They're saying, hey, what are you going to give us as a bullpen?
Maybe that's the other part of it I was thinking.
Maybe a trip. Maybe like, a trip
like,
to.
Like to just hand it over.
Yeah, and he went in there and they started to go.
He did the right thing. Yeah.
But he wouldn't have had a chance. They'd have had to kill me. I'd have put that right in my pants and say, if you want to go in here and grab these monkeypox up in my drawers, go ahead and do it. They would have to take me in back. They would have had to zoom out, but they would have had to do a cavity search for me.
I just, that scene was such a.
Don't!
Like, think about the dichotomy of. Judge and the celebration, the happiness they showed his mom, and she's happy.
Nah, your mom
and everybody's excited. And all I'm thinking of is how many of his, like, if you're watching from home and you're like, he's gonna get it,
this dummy just, dropped two. When have we ever seen somebody when have we ever seen somebody drop $2.5 million?
I would not show up here.
That'd be a difficult thing to do.
I don't think I could show my face around here anymore if that was me.
Lacto, we were seeing Lacto, he'd be clean shaven, like, who is this dude? Now you care about the way you look?
Babyface Renee.
Bro. Right, really? Like, really? Contacts on, no glasses.
Might as well go bald.
That, no, no, the no. guy he threw the glove at was. Like, I just couldn't believe he just turned around and threw.
I can't believe he didn't jump over there after that ball. I would have fell right with that ball.
That is a deep, deep fall, though.
That
is a pretty deep fall. I'm not going to lie. I would still do it.
You wouldn't fall one story for $2.5 million.
Like I said, I'm dolphin diving on that ball. I don't care how far it is.
Isn't it dirt and grass down there anyway?
Who cares?
It's a bullpen.
I don't care what it is.
Who cares?
It's not like you're falling onto concrete.
It could be it could be shark infested waters. I don't care.
You're still going in?
I'm dolphin diving.
I'm in there.
So just to add to the story, Bushman's wife is Sarah Walsh, who's a sportscaster, right? A sports broadcaster. And so she went to Twitter and, you know, she said, "The bad news, I'm down here in Florida battling a hurricane. The good news is I can announce my retirement." Right? But then she sees a picture of him handing the ball, and she said, "Oh, cool, he just handed that back without checking to see if our house is still here. I'd next like to announce our divorce."
Yes.
Like, she handled this so well. Like, it made it funny. But then later saying that he wasn't forced to give the ball back, but he handed it over. It was actually Zach Britton who came over from the Yankee
bullpen. I said, "Zach, unless you come over here with a pocket full of cash like the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase, you Virgil, then you can go ahead and go back."
And Bushman actually told her, she actually put the quote up, the Judge and Maris family have been flying all over the country. They deserve to have that ball.
No, they don't.
Judge gave it to his mom.
So where's Roger Maris' ball at?
That was sold for $5,000.
Damn straight.
And
right. So if Roger
bought a house with it and started a family. That was an amazing story. Right. So I told you about that, right?
Exactly. So if Roger, Maris don't have the ball, Roger don't got the ball, why do Judge deserve the ball?
Because
Roger did what was appropriate.
That's
like
the funny
you about
thing.
To get $400 million.
Yeah, remember Sal Duranty.
This ball gonna change my life.
Yeah, Sal Duranty actually gave it up to Mary. It was no, this is yours. He was 20 years old and he was engaged and all that stuff. And Maris said to him, "No, this means more to you. You keep it."
Yeah, I got the record, son. I don't need the actual.
And
damn
Judge
ball.
Has accepted home run number 60. If you remember that kid that gave it back.
Judge is so selfish,
and he kept
he's so
61.
He's so selfish. Man, please.
Don't call him selfish, but it's interesting.
He's selfish. He's about to get $400 million.
Now, will he auction it off for charity?
No, hell no.
You don't think he's got a foundation?
He gave it to his mom. He gave it to his mama.
For now.
Mama gonna put it in the trophy case.
If he gets 62,
and then
he's gonna
come over and the grandkids gonna be throwing with it, gonna smudge it off like on Little Giants or whatever that is with James Earl Jones in there.
And they were. That's the Sandlot. That's
the Sandlot. Well, you know what I mean.
That's the Babe Ruth sign baseball.
Sandlot, right? Yeah, you're gonna be over there playing with it like that. Grandkids just disrespecting the ball. Y'all know how important that ball is. Well, we needed something to play with.
Well, is it? I don't know.
Like, because technically that ball should go to
what if Judge does it? When
that ball should go to the Hall of Fame. That ball should go to the Hall of Fame.
No, it's not. It's a Yankees record.
Oh, okay.
Hold
up. If Mike White football is in the Hall of Fame, you mean you tell me the record breaking?
Listen, like, all I'm saying is
that dude was an idiot.
Do we
Judge is selfish.
Oh, no, we do.
We do?
Yeah, we do. It's on there.
Where is it?
It's on the screen.
It is?
It's a
little read. I'll get to
Judge is selfish.
It's not selfish. What
he keeping everything for his damn self.
Give me here's a scenario. When this is all over with, he has his own foundation, you know. And it's not Brett Favre's foundation, at least as far as we know.
Forget them kids.
But let's say he takes 60, if he gets to 62, he takes 60 and 61 and puts them on auction. And they get some money and he puts it into the foundation. Like, now it helps.
$3 million. Because that's what it's worth, about $3 million.
Well, what if that's what he's doing?
Take all three of them.
He will auction them off for charity, which is a good thing. And let mom hang on to it for now.
Listen, first of all, charity is some of the most. Like,
Brett Favre is proving that.
Yeah, you talk about the Red Cross, all them, they launder money. Like, they pay
don't do all that.
No, charity, let me tell you something. Let me tell people about that. Charities is the way rich people launder money.
Oh, boy.
I'm just gonna let y'all know that. Okay. So, unless he going out and building a school, it's more important to that person
I'm
than
leaving
it is.
You out. I'm leaving you out on this island.
I'm just saying.
I'm leaving you out of this island.
Man, United Way,
I am,
they beat, man. Listen, they play their
stop.
They pay their executives.
Stop.
They got caught. This is not alternative facts. I'm just saying. Unless he going out there and building himself, man, look. The feds say $42 billion of PPE money was misused and mishandled. Mm. Charity ain't always charity. Brett Favre.
I don't know what that whole story is. Getting worse and worse the more we're hearing about
it. I'm glad it's starting to get more and more echoes, because if he did that, then he deserves whatever he has going his way. that he was still for impoverished
There's
people.
Something definitely coming his way about that. There's no question about it. 888 say ESPN.
I do like charity people.
3776. Well, you have your own. You do your
Just
own
playing.
Stuff. I figured you were. There's
a little bit.
There's a great story, though, and it has a – I think it's a very interesting topic to get into that I want to discuss. It's still a baseball story, but it doesn't involve the Yankees. It does a little bit, but it mostly involves the Dodgers. And I'd love to get everybody's opinion on this. Talk about that in just a second here. But just want to remind you, it's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career that you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits – and one of the country's top workplaces, come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. So a story about the Dodgers, how they've clinched again, not only the division for like, the ninth time in 10 years, that they have the best record in the sport. They have their franchise record, 107 wins after they beat the Padres yesterday. And they have done nothing but win now.
Two years in a row.
It has been unbelievable.
Last year they had, 103,
106, I believe, yeah. But they have only had one championship in this run where I believe they've won like 105, 106, 106. Mm. You know, they have really been, a juggernaut. But the World Series has escaped them for various reasons. Mm. They win the one in the bubble, and some say it's the hardest one to win because you played every day and there were no fans, and but there's no travel. It's different.
Right.
But I'm curious how we feel about them not winning. And how much do we really, are we wrong in this rings era to put so much emphasis on a team that can have a great season, but yet not come up with the ultimate prize at the end?
Of course.
Like, that's the part that I think we kind of get lost on, right?
We've done it, right? We talk stuff about the Buffalo Bills going to the Super Bowl four straight times and not
winning.
Which
is an amazing run.
Yeah, but it's like –
But they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, man, how dumb is that? Like, I'd much rather make one or two and win two than go to four in a row.
So let me read you a quote from Dave Roberts, who's the manager of the Dodgers. And he said this: fans and media that say if the Dodgers or the Yankees don't win the World Series, it's a lost season. He said, I think it's unfair and it's a lazy take. He said, they're not approaching the ride. They're not appreciating. I'm sorry. Can't read. They're not appreciating the ride. What the real fans do is they appreciate the entire ride.
Real fans.
And also, they understand how difficult it is. That was one of the messages I had last year when we lost to Atlanta. I said, we lost to a very hot team. And anyone that says it was a lost season or a wasted year has no idea what it's like to wear this uniform. And he said, I stand by that. That's a strong quote.
You can't take all the good stuff that come with that. You got to be able to handle the weight of the uniform, because guess what? You're going to be over-marketed. You're going to be overcompensated for wearing that uniform. So don't give me that crap when you get there. You can't finish the deal. Nobody cares because you led the race for three laps and then the last lap you lose. That's just what life is about. That's what America's about.
He's saying – we had a whole season. We won 107 games. We've had a great year.
So what? No,
you still have to acknowledge it was a great year.
It's not a great year.
They're saying this might be the best era of Dodger baseball ever.
How many championships?
How successful they've won.
So what's the era that they won more than one?
Well, they never really won a lot, remember.
But they won a couple, right?
That's the one thing about
the Dodgers. They won a couple, right?
I mean, they've won some, obviously.
Would you rather be the Dodgers?
88, 81. Okay. Maybe the back, obviously, in the 50s when they were in Brooklyn.
Would you rather be the Dodgers or the Giants?
What do you mean?
The San Francisco Giants. They won championship, the Bumgarner era, right?
Yeah.
You talk about the great. I'd rather be them than be, they're there every year. They're competing every year. I'd rather be them. In it one year, win it, not even in it the next. Win it the next year, not in it the next. I'd much rather do that, because at the end of the day, when they come down and they talk about what goes on your Wikipedia page, it's about how many championships you won that people care about. They don't care about how many times you got there. Hell, I went to three AFC championships in a row. You think I don't think those were lost seasons? I ain't win nothing. Nobody cares. I've never went on a vacation.
Wait a minute.
I really enjoyed this airplane ride.
Wait.
Hell no, I enjoyed the destination. I ain't care about the journey.
But you're supposed to enjoy that part of
Hell
it, too.
Hell no. That's not how
– So you tell me
that's
this.
That's not how great athletes since or how 20, athletes care.
Since 2019, the Dodgers.
Okay.
I mean, this is ridiculous. They've won 106 or more wins. Now, this year is the or more. The 1 year they didn't was the COVID shortened season where they won 43 out of 60 games. Yeah. Like they have been a dominant, successful team.
How much money they spent? What's their salary?
No, they've spent a lot of
money. So don't give me that. So you should win 106 games if you buy all the best players. I don't even care if you win. How you come and lose to a team that got hot and you spend more money than anybody? So you spend all this
but
money.
But we can't acknowledge that this is still a good era. Can I give you more stats at least? All right. Think about this. They're on pace to become the sixth team in Major League history to reach 111. They can still get to there.
Amazing. Great.
They are plus 322 in run differential.
Great.
It's the fourth highest since 1920.
Okay, let's ask those undefeated regular season Patriots how they feel about that season. Let's see if they enjoyed the journey.
9 division titles in 10 years.
Congratulations.
927 wins.
Great.
All right, in that time. 72 more than the second place team, which would be the Yankees, in that same run.
Beautiful.
How about this? Since 2019, they're 362 and 177, which is almost 30 games ahead of the Astros, who were the second best.
Amazing.
Run differential in that stretch is plus 1,000. The Astros are second at plus 701.
Cute.
They have been a ridiculously dominant team.
And won one championship. I can care less about all that. All that means is our fans were engaged for a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, they probably was more disappointed than a fan that lost or a team that lost in an opening round or in the wild card because they built the hope up that this team should win. They were the favorite. How you lose if you're the favorite? Over and over and over and over and over again.
They won the
bubble. Right, but they've lost over and over. Nobody cares about that. I'd rather be the Red Sox.
I ask you this. If, and they should, they're the best team in baseball. Now, they have some pitching issues, but they still have gotten through the whole season, even with their pitching injuries and everything else. They've gotten through the season as the best team pretty much from start to finish. Them and the Yankees, and then the Yankees tailed off.
Yeah,
they never tailed off. So with that in mind, if they win this year, would you then at least acknowledge, like, well, this last 5 years, they have been one of the most dominant sports teams in North American sports?
What's the most dominant team? No, what's a dynasty?
Well, yeah, I know.
What's a dynasty?
Consecutive.
Right.
But nobody can. Dynasties are very hard now.
They spend more money than anybody.
All right, I need to hear from
What's their payroll compared to everybody else?
I know they have the biggest
payroll. It's not even close.
Yes, I get it.
So because you win regular season games, who cares? You got two of everything. No, Trevor Bauer ain't played in 2 years. And it don't even bother him.
Let me hear. I need to hear it. So you feel that way.
I feel like
What Roberts is saying is there still is something to acknowledge about the journey, and we have gotten into this rings mentality where it doesn't matter.
That's all we care about.
But it's still, if you're a fan, it's one thing to acknowledge it nationally because we're not Dodgers fans. But if you're a fan of that team and you say, lost season.
They're fans that had more heartbreak.
107 wins be lost. It was an amazing run. Did it end in a championship? It did not, but
Their fans have had more heartbreak than any other fan base as well.
They have had
because
a lot.
Their hopes have been up higher than anybody else's. They were arrogant. They were talking stuff to their friends. Oh, we won 107. And then what happens?
Well,
how do we feel around here in Yankee land?
Well, that's what
when
I was going to
Yankees
bring up.
And Boone has won over 100 games in his first four years.
This standard is exclusive to two. Just two.
Right.
The Yankees and the Dodgers. I don't even think the Astros face this. People, if the Astros lose, it's like almost you're happy they lose. The only two franchises that could have a 100-win enjoyable season and still call it a failure if they don't win a championship are the Yankees and the Dodgers. Is that right or wrong? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
We said this already. Best video.
You remember the time.
Better video than Thriller.
Than Thriller?
Don't at me. Don't at me. Better video than Thriller.
It's only because he had more money, and it was Eddie Murphy.
So well done.
He had Magic Johnson. Who was the woman that he had? She was famous. Remember?
Was that it was Iman?
Naomi Campbell? Yeah, Iman. It was Iman, right? Yeah.
Right, the model? Yeah. Hey, by the way, everybody, we just got a tweet from somebody saying, why is Bart and Han not on ESPN Plus right now? Mm-hmm. We were for the first 2 hours, as we always are. Last hour is not. It's just strictly radio.
They saying we should. That's what they saying.
I know. Well, starting Monday, you can watch us live on the ESPN app.
What?
Yeah.
How do you get the ESPN app?
You don't
app?
Even need like an. You don't need like, you know, when you have to like sign up, subscribe.
Nope, none of that.
We're on the app, baby.
Just pull us up, free.
Open up the ESPN app. Hit that watch button at the bottom of the tab. You know where it says watch with that little, you know, triangle. And then you just see us right there. You'll see our little show logo. Click on it, and there we are. So you can watch on an iPad. You can watch us on anywhere. Pretty much the same thing, just now it's on the app. Now it's more more available.
It's more streamlined for you. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Just one click of a button, and you got us.
So you got us. So that's
for the sour hour, the power hour, the now hour, and the hour hour.
The gong. You can see Bart and all the food that he eats during the show.
Yes.
Bart Sadamus, you could see
Lactavius
and all the little spider legs hanging off his upper lip.
And audiophiles.
And the audiophiles, all that and more. So, yeah, that's coming up. It's Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to tune into a football doubleheader Sunday. Colts and the Titans. Mm. Is this another? Are we having another Canty Carlin vehicle?
That's negatory. I asked.
Did they not make the cut?
I don't know if they didn't make the cut. Well, you know Carlin.
They got voted off the island? They got voted off the island?
Already?
No, Carlin is calling Ohio State Rutgers on Saturday.
Well, he does Rutgers. He's the voice of Rutgers.
Really? Does he really want to call that ass kicking? Rutgers. That's home. Is that homecoming for Ohio State?
I'm just saying that I need more Canty Carlin calling games because Canty, we didn't get to hear him.
I
heard some of it. Yeah. I thought he was really good.
Yeah. Like, you know,
all right, so we don't get Canty Carlin calling games. Who are we getting instead?
Carlin sounds like Sylvester. Suck a task.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's my guy.
You get me in trouble.
A baby Buddha.
Well, Colts host the Titans.
Man, is this the
Cardinals and the Panthers. So that's our doubleheader, and the coverage begins at noon Eastern on select ESPN radio stations.
Hold on. Let's correct that. You said the Cardinals and the Panthers. That's the same people. Oh, you said the Cardinals and the Panthers. I don't know why.
No,
I thought you said Carolina and the Panthers. Okay.
No, the Cardinals and the Panthers. Okay. Yes. They're two different things.
Meh.
Yeah. So that's that. But we don't get Canty Carlin calling the games, and nobody wants to hear you and I call a game, clearly.
Can we go on there live and just see if they'll narrate for us? Just go on live. We'll turn the sound off our game and we'll listen to you.
Let's go to Chris in Memphis. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing okay. Now, I called in about the subject that y'all were talking about, the Dodge.
Yeah.
And, but, I totally agree with Bud, because it gets to the point where the Dodgers, they win so many games every year. Not saying that they not a contender, but it just gets to the point where when they win during the regular season, then all of a sudden when the postseason comes, they just choke.
Exactly. I think they have so much pressure. Yeah, not winning the championship is choking. Losing to the Braves, who barely made it to the championship. They barely made it to the playoffs. They limped their way in.
Red hot. Yeah. They didn't limp anything. But they had a strong finish to the season.
Yeah, strong finish. But they weren't limp.
Midway through the season, they had all those injuries.
And they added and it helped.
Wow. Listen, so everybody just joining us. Again, the conversation is about the Dodgers, who just set a franchise record again.
Who wants to see somebody?
For wins in the regular season, 107 yesterday.
Congratulations.
And the question is about whether or not these seasons matter if you don't win a championship. And I said, it's the Dodgers and the Yankees are the two teams held to a standard of the regular season is like, yeah, that's nice, but nothing matters unless you win the championship. And Dave Roberts said, you know what? He's the manager of the Dodgers. He said, you know what? It's the journey that matters.
No, he don't want to get his ass fired. He don't want to get his ass fired.
He's not
going to
get fired.
Because in a lot of those losses, he made bad decisions as a manager. Remember those before they finally won it, the bad decisions that he made, not taking Kershaw off, not making certain decisions.
As a fan,
so that's him protecting himself and his job and his Skrilla.
But there is something about just having – they've been dominant the last couple of years. Let's take Steve in Vegas. Go ahead, Steve. Steve.
Scuba Steve, what's up, man?
I hear him, man.
Yeah, we lost Steve.
All from Scuba Steve.
Yeah, all right, let's continue then. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Sam. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I was thinking, you know, I am a big Yankees fan, but the Dodgers are really a Packers of the MLB. They have an amazing regular season, and they can never really finish out in the postseason.
Absolutely. You talk about A-Ron, 13-3 the last couple of years, getting sent home by Jimmy G. If he owns the Bears, then Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers own him.
Let's go to Ohio. Talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good.
What up, Krill?
Well, you guys are arguing over this whole Dodger thing, and I hear a lot of people say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers, but in the opposite tone of his career being a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's the difference?
The idea is the one championship.
It's the truth. Nobody wants to see somebody in NASCAR lead every single lap and then get caught at the end.
That's a little different. That's a little different because it's one race. It's
not like they're setting records every single year. Set the records. You should be good enough to finish.
5 months. Then you are the best team in the sport. You're winning. It's
then
fun.
Then finish it.
I know you got to finish it. Yes.
You think they enjoy in the regular season knowing that they choked in the postseason? They don't enjoy it.
Well,
just like it's hard to be a Yankee fan. You don't enjoy it.
No.
It's anxiety.
Right. Yeah.
And then when you get there, the pressure mounts up, and they're falling and folding to the pressure.
And that's why I'm asking that question. Are we in the right mentality to do this? Is this really the right way? Because this has become a thing over the last
this is America.
10 years or so
this
where
is
it
America.
Just only matters the ring. Anything else doesn't matter. And I guess you can ask the Seattle Mariners from 2001.
Yeah.
If it matters.
We don't even know. We don't even remember them.
No.
We don't remember them.
888-ESPN, 888-729.
Who was that?
3776. More of your calls coming up with Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Why is this song playing right now, Bart?
Because Escobar season has returned. Put some respect on his name while we're sitting here talking about Judge. And yes, it's a historical moment.
Yeah.
But we are not going to just floss over and just turn the page on what we saw yesterday out of the Mets. Yeah, put some respect on Escobar.
That's an important comeback.
Seven RBIs.
Five.
It's the seventh time he's done it.
Yes.
Put the team on my back, though. Hold my bricks.
He literally was a one-man show. As the Mets rallied.
Lindor with the afterburners.
Early, you see that 4-0, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, what the hell is
going
on with the
on with this team? But and then the Braves were losing.
Right.
And that made it very
they
significant.
Lost, yeah.
So they get that way. Remember, the Marlins had just beat the Mets the night before.
So all they got to do is win two against Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, they're up a game right now.
And they get it.
Do they?
They win two out of three.
They'll be up by one game. That locks it up?
That's barbecue chicken. Should be, right?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't lock it up, but you know what I'm saying. They still got some more games after that. Is this the last? No,
it's not the last series. That's why I said I don't know if that exactly does. It certainly does put you pretty much like on the cusp.
Well, you only can hope to get two out of three. I don't think either team can beat each other three times. They're good. Listen, they changed the rotation, right? They got DeGrom and then Scherzer. So these are the big guns, baby.
But still,
what we asked for.
Escobar.
I go bullpen game with what Carrasco and them giving you. You ain't getting Tyron Watt. They ain't giving you nothing.
He hasn't really looked good. I know. It's amazing. Think about this. The first time that a Mets player had at least five RBI, scored all the runs in the game, including the winning run.
Was Pete Alonso.
No. Nobody's ever done it.
Dom Smith?
No, nobody has ever done it. It's not that anybody. I'm not asking you who the last one to do it. I'm telling you that no one has ever done all of that. Like, he was their offense. All of it. And they needed it because you know, things had started off so poorly and there was concern. But now you're pretty much now right there. I mean, this is it. You've got this series now coming up this weekend. And whether or not now we'll see if the residual effects of Hurricane Ian.
What if it comes down to
another game later? There hasn't been anything
yet. It may not be a need to play it, though. Just imagine now if they aren't able to get in, they have to postpone the series. They go win, and then the Atlanta loses, or they play one game, and then the rest are rained out. And then, like, it's mathematically impossible for them to do it, so it don't even matter if they play the game. Yeah,
they're going straight tiebreakers. That's what I'm hoping. The Mets own the tiebreaker. If there ever is a tie situation, the Mets do own the tiebreaker. That's good news. But still, what we want to see is a series that goes head-to-head and see if somebody can win this
thing. I'm nervous.
I bet you are. More of your calls coming up in 10 seconds. Stay with us. Barton Hunt. All right, Barton Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we got a little foosball tonight. Week four begins, Thursday Night Football.
I just want to see the unis, man.
Yeah, you're picking the Bengals just because you think that they're going to be white hot with those uniforms.
Man, look good, feel good, play good, to quote my boy Prime Tizan.
You know, Burrow said, I'll play in trash bags. I could care less. Like, there's no reaction from him about the uniform.
Well, if you watch how he dresses, it's pretty much how he dresses anyway.
No.
I'm just playing.
He's got some swag, right?
Yeah, he out there like Cheddar Bob, a.k.a. MC Mayo. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got him buffed up last year. That's why I know he was
Cheddar Bob.
That's how I know he was close to Detroit, because somebody buffed him up and gave him some of the yays. You know what I'm saying? That's a Detroit special. So I gave him some love because he got the yays on Buffalo frames. You know what I mean?
I hear you. But all right, but who wins this thing?
Vegas got, you know, always knows something, and they have, like, on a short week. Who knows what type of back Tua got? And listen, for everything that people talk
Cincinnati
about,
like, laying 3.5, which is not really a big.
But maybe you'd be like, well, maybe, just maybe, you know, they'll be able to run the ball a little bit. Like, the Dolphins are 31st in the league in running the ball. Mm-hmm. And what people aren't talking about, probably up to date, the best defensive tackle in the league is DJ Reader. And I don't know if he's going to be healthy because he got hurt a little bit last week against the Jets. Mm-hmm. But this dude, he shuts down everything. And Trey Henderson is defensive player of the week now, maybe because you play the Jets, you can get those type of accolades easy.
Right.
But 3 sacks last week, he was unblockable. Let's see what happens with him and Armstead. Remember, him and Armstead was teammates, so they know each other. The game within the game. Mm. Nice, juicy, spicy nugget I just gave you there. You're welcome. And also, you got the Cheetah saying he want to take a bite out of the apple.
Yeah.
Because he got real beef. Listen, he need to quit wearing these Macho Man Randy Savage glasses.
I meant to get that quote. Yeah.
Cheetah's a little salty because the Bengals beat him on the way to the Super Bowl last year. And Eli Apple went to Twitter and Instagram and started going to Twitter beef.
So Tyreek Hill, for those who don't know, this week said, I can't wait to go against Eli Apple. I owe you, boy. I owe you. I'm here. The Cheetah's here. That's it.
And I'm doubling him.
Eli was like not available for comment.
Of course. It's been a tough year for Eli.
Yeah, no.
Deliver us from Eli. Eli giveth, Eli taketh away.
As we continue the Dodger-Yankee conversation, is it basically must win? Even though you're winning all these games, especially the Dodgers, 105, 106, 107, winning is all that matters. The championship in the end. We go to Austin, talk to Larry. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm perfect. I got to agree with Bart on this one. I think, Alan, you had too many participation trophies.
Probably.
Like, this
ninth place, meet the Fockers.
You know what I mean? Like, this is professional sports. You play to win.
Yeah.
If you don't win, Larry, I'll
tell you that as a Yankees fan, that's I was saying in May, all this winning does is bring more anxiety for October. I was basically taking what Dave Roberts was trying to say, the manager of the Dodgers, saying like we're in this mentality now where we don't appreciate a season anymore when you have a great season. But I'm with you, Larry. Like, I feel like that as a Yankees fan.
Okay.
If you don't, it only makes it more anxious. Like, I don't want the AL East Championship celebration and, you know, all the champagne. I don't want that to be the one time we're celebrating. But it always feels like that. All right, let's have one more look at the player of the week, brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink. It is, of course, Aaron Judge. And we've played you the Michael K. call. But let's play you. This is because it always sounds, as we always say, it always sounds better in Spanish.
What happened to our translator segment? We better have that up next week.
Yeah, we should. But here is the call
slacking
on Spanish radio.
Judge, batazo, profundo por el izquierdo. Olvídala, esa se va, se va, se fue. La número 61 se fue.
Translation?
Bad. And what did he say there, Latavius?
He said, it's going, it's going, it's gone. It left.
Hold on, he made something like that sound good. It's going, it's going, it's going. It left. The dude said two words and it sounded that gangster.
Se va, se va, se va. It left.
Yo, right now he's just taking advantage because you know everything. You know everything sounds good in Spanish, so you just say the most basic stuff because you know it sounds good.
Sounds so good.
You guys just said everything sounds better in Spanish.
All he said was, it's going, it left, and it sounded amazing.
Listen, yeah. Alan, I'm glad you saved yourself because I thought we were going to have to rename the song Han Lord Focker.
Please don't do that. Gear up this fall with Body
Armor
Sports Drink.
Do you have your jock on the wall at home, too?
More than a sports drink. No.
Your jock strap you got on the wall?
You know, I told you already, I only wore it once. Oh, I don't even know where that thing went.
You said you don't got a big enough wall in your house
for it? Listen, I was most improved player in fourth grade CYO. And that trophy meant a lot to me. So what? My dad was the coach.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.